ఆభీరశుంభాయవనాఖసాదయా. యే అన్యే చ పాప్యదపాశ్రయాశ్రయా శుద్ధ్యంతి తస్మై ప్రభు విష్ణవే నమః. కీరాట హూణాంద్ర పులింద పుల్కషా ఆభీర శుంభాయవనాఖ సాదయా. యే అన్యే చ పాప్యదపాశ్రయాశ్రయా శుద్ధ్యంతి తస్మై ప్రభు విష్ణవే నమః. కిరాట హూణాంద్ర పులింద పుల్కషా ఆభీర శుంభాయవనాఖ సాదయా. యే అన్యే చ పాప్యదపాశ్రయాశ్రయా శుద్ధ్యంతి తస్మై ప్రభు విష్ణవే నమః. మాతాజీస్ reading word to word. Kirata, a province of old Bharat. Huna, part of Germany and Russia. Andhra, a province of southern India. Pulinda, the Greeks. Pulkashaha, another province. Abhira, part of old Sindh. Shumbha, another province. Yavana, the Turks. Khasadaya, the Mongolian province. Ye, even those. Anye, others. Cha, also. Papaha, addicted to sinful acts. Yet, whose. Apashraya, ashrayaha, having taken shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Shuddhyanti, at once purified. Tasmai, unto him. Prabha Vishnave, unto the powerful Vishnu. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Kirat, Hoon, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhir, Shumbha, Yavana, members of the Khasa races and even others, addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to His being the Supreme Power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Purport. So in the purport, Prabhupada mentions the description of all these races. Kirat, a province of old Bharatvarsha mentioned in the Bhishma Parva of the Mahabharata. Generally, the Kiratas are known as the aboriginal tribes of India, and in modern days, the Santal Parganas in Bihar and Chota Nagpur might comprise the old province named Kirat. Hoon, the area of East Germany and part of Russia is known as the province of the Hoonas. Accordingly, sometimes a kind of hill tribe is also known as the Hoonas. Andhra, a province in the southern India mentioned in the Bhishma Parva of Mahabharata, it is still extant under the same name. Pulinda, it is mentioned in the Mahabharata Adi Parva 174-38, viz. The inhabitants of the province of the name Pulinda. This country was conquered by Bhimasen and Sahadev. The Greeks are known as Pulindas. And it is mentioned in the Vana Parva of Mahabharata that the non-Vedic race of this part of the world would rule over the world. This Pulinda province was also one of the provinces of Bharat, and the inhabitants were classified amongst the Kshatriya kings. But later on, due to their giving up the Brahminical culture, they were mentioned as Mlechhas, just as those who are not followers of Islamic culture are called Kafirs, and those who are not followers of Christian cultures are called Heathens. Abhira. This name also appears in the Mahabharata, both in the Sabha Parva and Bhishma Parva. It is mentioned that this province was situated on the river Saraswati in Sindh. The modern Sindh province formerly extended on the other side of the Arabian Sea, and all the inhabitants of that province were known as the Abhirs. They were under the domination of Maharaj Yudhishthir, and according to the statements of Markandeya, the Mlechhas of this part of the world would also rule over Bharat. Later on, this proved to be true, as in the case of the Pulindas. On behalf of the Pulindas, Alexander the Great conquered India, and on behalf of the Abhiras, Muhammad Ghori conquered India. These Abhiras were also formerly Kshatriyas within the Brahminical culture, but they gave up the connection. The Kshatriyas, who were afraid of Parashuram and had hidden themselves in the Caucasian hilly regions, later on became known as the Abhiras, and the place they inhabited was known as Abhiradesh. Shumbhas or Kanakas, the inhabitants of the Kanka province of old Bharat mentioned in the Mahabharata. Yavanas. Yavana was the name of one of the sons of Maharaj Yayati, who was given the part of the world known as Turkey to rule. Therefore, the Turks are Yavanas due to being descendants of Maharaj Yavana. The Yavanas were therefore Kshatriyas, and later on, by giving up the Brahminical culture, they became Mlecha Yavanas. Descriptions of the Yavanas are in the Mahabharata, Adi Parva 85-34. Another prince called Turvasu was also known as Yavana, and his country was conquered by Sahadev, one of the Pandavas. The western Yavana joined with Duryodhan in the battle of Kurukshetra under the pressure of Karna. It is also foretold that these Yavanas would conquer India, and it proved to be true. Khasa. The inhabitants of the Khasa Desh, as mentioned in the Mahabharata Drona Parva. Those who have a stunted growth of hair on the upper lip are called Khasas. As such, the Khasa are the Mongolians, the Chinese and others who are so designated. The above mentioned historical names are different nations of the world. So this is a long purport, so we'll read so we can all try to focus. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. And from the version of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, it appears that instead of running a godless civilization, in the present context of the world situation, if the leadership of world affairs is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for which a worldwide organization under the name and style of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then, by the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be a thorough change of heart in human beings all over the world. Because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to effect such a change by purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general. The politicians of the world may remain in their respective positions because the pure devotees of the Lord are not interested in political leadership or diplomatic implications. The devotees are interested only in seeing that the people in general are not misguided by political propaganda and seeing that the valuable life of a human being is not spoiled in following a type of civilization which is ultimately doomed. If the politicians, therefore, would be guided by the good counsel of the devotees, then certainly there would be a great change in the world situation by the purifying propaganda of the devotees, as shown by Lord Chaitanya. As Shukadeva Goswami began his prayer by discussing the word Yat Kirtanam, so also Lord Chaitanya recommended that simply by glorifying the Lord's holy name, a tremendous change of heart can take place by which the complete misunderstanding between the human nations created by politicians can at once be extinguished. And after the extinction of the fire of misunderstanding, other prophets will follow. The destination is to go back home, back to Godhead, as we have several times discussed in these pages. According to the cult of devotion, generally known as the Vaishnav cult, there is no bar against anyone's advancing in the matter of God realization. A Vaishnava is powerful enough to turn into a Vaishnava, even the Kirat, etc. as mentioned. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.32, it is said by the Lord that there is no bar to becoming a devotee of the Lord, even for those who are low-born or women, Shudras or Vaishyas. And by becoming a devotee, everyone is eligible to return home back to Godhead. The only qualification is that one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord who has thorough knowledge in the transcendental science of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna becomes a pure devotee and a spiritual master for the general mass of people and may reclaim them by purification of heart. Though a person be even the most sinful man, he can at once be purified by the systematic contact with a pure Vaishnava. A Vaishnava, therefore, can accept a bona fide disciple from any part of the world without any consideration of caste and creed and promote him by regulative principles to the status of a pure Vaishnava who is transcendental to Brahminical culture. The system of caste or varnashram dharma is no longer regular even amongst the so-called followers of the system. Nor is it now possible to re-establish the institutional function in the present context of social, political and economic revolution. Without any reference to the particular custom of a country, one can be accepted to the Vaishnava cult spiritually, and there is no hindrance in the transcendental process. So by the order of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the cult of Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita can be preached all over the world reclaiming all persons willing to accept the transcendental cult. Such cultural propaganda by the devotees will certainly be accepted by all persons who are reasonable and inquisitive, without any particular bias for the custom of the country. The Vaishnava never accepts another Vaishnava on the basis of birthright, just as he never thinks of the deity of the Lord in the temple as an idol. And to remove all doubts in this connection, Srila Shukadeva Goswami has invoked the blessings of the Lord, who is all-powerful, Prabha Vishnave Namaha. As the all-powerful Lord accepts the humble service of his devotee in devotional activities of the Archana, his form as the worshipable deity in the temple, similarly, the body of a pure Vaishnava changes transcendentally at once when he gives himself up to the service of the Lord and is trained by a qualified Vaishnava. The injunction of Vaishnava regulation in this connection runs as follows. Arche Vishnu Shiladhi Gurushu Naramati Vaishnave Jati Buddhi Sri Vishnu Namni Shabda Samanya Buddhi, etc. One should not consider the deity of the Lord as worshipped in the temple to be an idol, nor should one consider the authorized spiritual master an ordinary man, nor should one consider a pure Vaishnava to belong to a particular caste, etc. Stated from the Padma Purana. The conclusion is that the Lord, being all-powerful, can, under any and every circumstance, accept anyone from any part of the world, either personally or through his bona fide manifestation as the spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya accepted many devotees from communities other than the Varnashramites, and he himself declared to teach us that he does not belong to any caste or social order of life, but that he is the eternal servant of the Lord who maintains the damsels of Vrindavan, Lord Krishna. That is the way of self-realization. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raguna Thanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitanscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayavacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Shumba Yavana Khasadaya Ye Anya Cha Papiyad Apashraya Ashraya Shudhyanti Tasmai Prabhu Vishnave Namaha. So this is the verse we are discussing. And I am sitting here as a live example of this verse. As Prabhupada quotes that Kalau Shudra Sambhavat, in this age of Kali, everyone is born with Shudra qualities. So Krishna says, Chaturvarnya Maya Shishnam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. So the classification of Varna is not by birth, it is by qualities. And by qualities in Kali Yuga, the by default mode is Shudra qualities. And I am a glaring example of this. But still, if I take shelter of devotees, then something meaningful can come out of the discussion. So request all the Vaishnavas to bless me so that I can speak something for the glorification of the Lord and for highlighting and bringing out the deeper imports of this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here in this verse we saw that Shukadeva Goswami is saying that irrespective of how uncivilized, how barbaric, how aboriginal tribe a person may take birth in or may belong to, if one takes shelter of the devotees of the Lord, one can be immediately uplifted to become a pure-hearted Vaishnava. So, to become the topmost refined human being, to achieve one's, to attain one's swarupa as a loving servant of Krishna, that's possible just by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. So we'll discuss on this theme that how, you know, from rags to riches, we have heard of rags to riches, right? Bahut gareeb tha, abhi bahut ameer ban gaya. So Dhirubhai Ambani story and many other stories we hear. But we are discussing today rogues to riches. Rogues. We all have been coming. Being in this material world is a testimony of our being rogues. Because this is a Durga. This is presided over by Durga Devi. So it is a Durga. It's a prison house. And if someone has got that striped uniform, that is a certificate that this person is a rogue. And this material body is nothing but a striped uniform, right? Which is testimony to the fact that we are rogues. We have rebelled against the Supreme Lord and are in this material world to exploit material nature, to exploit other living entities. And so, but how from rogues we can become rich? Golokera premadan harinama sankirtan. How can we get that dhan? So this is something which we'll discuss, this transformation story. Are you all in for this transformation story? Yeah. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he says, I'll quote, when men in various countries surpass the uncivilized stage, then they progress to further four stages. He says, the civilized stage, the scientific stage, the moral stage, and the devotional stage. And they will develop differences in language, dress, food, and mentality as they evolve from one stage to another. So, basically, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that that in this world, you will find these different types of people, the uncivilized people, who are no better than animals. There is no difference. Like, they are living lives of animals based on the basal instincts of eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And the aboriginal tribes who live in, say, the Amazon jungles, right, they don't have any evolved language or evolved kind of scientific advancement or even any understanding of God which is properly scientifically presented. So from an uncivilized stage, when one comes to a civilized stage, is basically when one evolves to a stage where one can restrain to some extent one's urges and instincts. So you have the aboriginal tribes in the jungles, right, without any clothes. They don't, you know, they don't mind being like that, as other animals are. You don't find any animal in the world, you know, being ashamed ki are kapde theek se nahi pehne, या कपड़े पहने ही नहीं, दे आर कवर्ड बाय द डायरेक्शंस. सो दुर्वास मुनि हु हैज द नेम. सो बट वेन वन बिकम्स कॉन्शियस दैट आई एम समथिंग मोर देन दिस बॉडी, राइट, एंड आई हैव पोटेंशियल फॉर इवॉल्विंग टू अ स्टेज विच इज बियॉन्ड दिस बॉडी, देन वन वॉन्ट्स टू एक्चुअली करटेल द कॉन्शियसनेस ऑफ द बॉडी एंड देयर फोर वन स्टार्ट्स वियरिंग ड्रेस, राइट, सम कवरिंग द बॉडी, राइट, सो दैट अदरवाइज वन इज ऑलवेज कॉन्शियस ऑफ द बॉडी ओनली, वेयर एवर लाइक वन इज जस्ट सीइंग बॉडीज, राइट, बट देन आई एम बियॉन्ड दिस बॉडी, आई एम बियॉन्ड दिस बायोलॉजिकल एग्जिस्टेंस. बट इन टूडेज डे एंड एज वी सी वी आर गोइंग बैक, we are going back to the, those you know aboriginal times. Then comes the scientific stage. So from uncivilized to civilized, where one becomes conscious that I am something more than the body, right, and I have potential for something more than just eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Like a dog also has its territory and it is fighting for that territory, and the dog also has mating, sex life. But then when it comes to civilized human being, he understands, he or she understands that I have potential for something more than just the biological functions. So then comes the scientific stage where one starts using one's intelligence for better eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Right? As Prabhupada would say, dog is running on four legs and man is running on four wheels. Whether it is Lamborghini or it is Padmini. So that's the evolution, right? One develops language and linguistic abilities, art, science, all of these abilities develop in communities. And then after the scientific stage, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying there's a moral stage. Moral stage is when one realizes that, okay, I also want to have sense gratification. This person also wants to have sense gratification. So if we fight, we keep fighting, we won't be able to enjoy. So let us cooperate for our enjoyment. And morality is basically coexistence of sense gratification. I enjoy, you enjoy. If there were no traffic lights and no one would follow the traffic signals, there would be so much congestion, so much of traffic jams, people get frustrated. No one wants to follow the traffic laws, but they follow because they know ye morality, follow karenge to I'll reach faster, right? Otherwise, everyone wants to break the laws. So morality is basically out of convenience sake. It will be better for my sense gratification to be moral, right? So that is the moral stage, but still the understanding of God is not yet developed. Then comes the devotional stage. So in the civilized stage, one had evolved control over one's instincts and urges. In the scientific stage, one has evolved intelligence. In the moral stage, one has evolved mind and emotions to have empathy towards others' needs, feelings, and then, cooperate. And in the devotional stage, there's evolution of ego, that there is something above me who is the controller, proprietor, and enjoyer who is superior to me. I am not the supreme. I am just a small cog in the wheel. So that understanding comes in a devotional stage where one seeing the complexity of the creation realizes that, there must be a creator. There must be a master. And so that is when one transforms from atheism to theism, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that from atheist, then one gradually comes to the path of sadhana bhakti, then one comes to prema bhakti. So that entire evolution takes place, but this is not a chronological development, as is proclaimed by the scientists that, okay, there was the iron age, and now there is the iPhone age. We have developed, and previously people were all primitive. They didn't have any intelligence, and they were like hunter gatherers. And now, man has become civilized. No, it's a concurrent reality, and all times in the history of the universe, there have been all of these different types of societies. Societies which are uncivilized, societies which are civilized, societies which are on the scientific stage, societies which are on the moral stage, and societies which are on the devotional stage. And the higher society includes the elements of the previous. The devotional society has morality in itself. The devotional society is scientific. The devotional society is having ability to control over one's urges. So that's like people pick and choose what they want. In a city, there are bars and brothels. There are gardens and museums. There are libraries and universities. And then there are temples and churches. So some people will go to the temple. Some people will go to the bars and brothels. Some people will go to gardens and have some, nice time. Some people will go to the libraries for gaining knowledge. So all of these are there, but people with their mindset will get attracted to a certain type of space. So the point is that this evolution is what is the goal of life, to evolve from that uncivilized stage to the devotional stage. And if you just look at the present civilization, which is so much enamored by scientific development, what has science really given us? More bombs and missiles to fire each other, more bullets and guns to let out one's envy and anger. So if we look at it, Bhagavatam says all of this development of artistic and scientific abilities is given to the human being for glorification of Lord. It is not meant for creating better facilities for sense gratification. Idam hi pumsam tapasa shutasyava swishtasya suktasya cha buddhi datteyo avichyuto artha kavibhi nirupito yad uttama shloka gunanu varnana. All of these abilities are meant for glorification of the Lord. Otherwise, we'll fight each other and using these weapons of mass destruction. And moral life itself is also incomplete without God. Scientific life without God leads to more and more weapons, nuclear weapons, to kill each other. And moral life, someone may say, okay, let's come to the moral stage without God. Let God be out of picture and we'll just have a happy family, happy community, happy world. Does that happen? Because what happens is that if someone is more powerful, then why do I need to follow the rules which are actually meant for helping the underprivileged? I should get all the share of facilities and resources. Or someone is smart enough, they can break the rules and bend the rules and circumvent their way around the rules. So morality without spirituality is like a grass. You have seen a grass, green grass. But if that green grass is not connected in its roots to the ground, to the soil, what happens? For some times it looks green. But what happens? After some time it dries up. Ghas sook jati hai. Right? So the morality that we see in this world is basically that green grass disconnected from the roots, disconnected to God, which may appear that yes, people are cooperating, things are fine, countries are having pacts of how to increase trade, and many, many G20 summits will happen. But then eventually, when you step onto my ego, when you step onto my sense gratification, immediately there is war. Palestine, Israel, Iraq war, Russia, Ukraine. So that morality won't last because it is like that grass which is disconnected from the roots. So therefore, we need that connection with Krishna, connection to God, to nourish the civilized life, the scientific life, and the moral stage of life. And recently, I met a doctor who is the CEO of a hospital. And I gave him some prasad and he said, okay, thank you so much. And then he said, actually, I don't believe in God. I said, I assume that given that you are such a big person, in my mind, I was thinking, okay. So he said, actually, if you think about it, such a complex world around us, it is practically impossible for one person to control everything. So many human beings, population, you know, overpopulation, and there's so many species of life, and then there's so many galaxies and universes. He said that I don't believe there's a God. I believe that everything came from evolution of matter, you know, single-celled organisms, then multi-celled organisms, and this is how it happened. So I said, okay. So then I asked him, from where did science begin? Science began with the search for meaning of life. Yes, that's what, why do we exist? What is the purpose of this creation? Why is there so much complexity around? He said, yes, that's the purpose of science. I said, okay. So finally, now you are saying that everything around that we see is simply random combinations of matter, of atoms, molecules, with no meaning around them, no meaning behind them. So what began with the search for meaning, has now come to a conclusion. This entire hundreds of years of scientific development with billions of dollars that has been invested begins with the search of meaning and with ends by saying that there is no meaning. And in fact, a scientist said that after studying all the scientific theories and philosophies, I have come to this conclusion. The only question that exists is whether to commit suicide today or later. Because there is no meaning. Right? So I said, you think about it. He said, yeah, but still I would like to be an atheist. I said, okay. Then the discussion progressed and he further said, today's youth, they are completely misguided. There is no morality. There is no discipline. There is no understanding of respect and culture. What is happening in the society? Why don't you people do something about it? I said, but why do you want to bring God again into picture? Why don't you handle it yourself? He said, no. Actually, you know, at least you people can, you know, give them some fear of God and then they will be disciplined. And I think that's why the ancestors created a God. And therefore, you know, this is a good idea. You know, God is a good idea. Right? That's what he said. I said, at least you accept God as an idea. Right? And then, so even if you want to have moral, social life, you need God. Even if you are a greatest atheist, you still need God as an idea. Right? If not as a reality. So, and what is the state of the godless world that we have created? 6 crore people being killed in World War II. 1 crore in World War I. And then 10 crore people killed in genocide in the communist regimes, which promise a happy life based on atheism. Right? They said everyone is equal, everyone will have equal share of resources, but at what cost? 10 crore being killed. So, this is the state of the world around us, in terms of wars, and in terms of gun violence and crimes. Like, it says, statistics say that every day, on an average, 10 to 12 children are killed in the US in mass shootings. 10 to 12 children are killed, right? And 50,000 people have been killed in these gun injuries in the US in 1 year, right? So, and where is this coming from? There's a, like, children play these games, you know, which are full of violence. Right, there's a game called Grand Theft Auto. One of our, you know, devotees was telling. I haven't played, but he was telling that what is the game all about? It's about you are a street level goon, and you need to become a gangster. The more people you kill, the more banks you loot, right? The more you become advanced, and then you are given different types of snipers and guns and everything. And you get higher and higher, weapons. So what do we think that children will learn based on these kind of impressions? And then there was this blue whale challenge game, right? 50 challenges were given for 50 days. First day was watch a horror movie at 12 midnight. next day, you know, stand on the edge of a, you know, multi-story building. Mm-hmm. Like this. And then the final 50th day challenge was commit suicide. And then hundreds of teens committed suicide. This is the state of the world today we are living in. And what to speak of drugs and addictions, right? 30,000 people have died in Canada due to drug overdose. But then what is the solution given by the government? Andher yathandher upagiyamana, that they have made legalized drug use. Because they cannot have so many people taking drugs, you know, kept in the prisons. Right? So they have legalized drug use and they have made it available in limited quantity in the pharmaceutical stores. And they have again, another thing they have done is they have given naloxone and other antidote for overdose of drugs. They have distributed it to nightclubs, convenience stores, gas stations. Aapko overdose ho gaya, darne ka nahi. Kahin se bhi aapko uplabdh ho jayegi dawai and you will be able to save your life. So this is how, this is the civilization. And if you are following this kind of civilization, where are we heading to? Right? This is going to come into India and is already coming in India very soon. Alcohol is now available in retail kirana stores. Right? In some states. So this, like, we can go on and on this Kali Puran, but the thing is, in UK, they have begun with, since decades, they have begun sex education in the schools. And what is the result? That 13-year-old girls and boys, they are standing for prostitution in the midnight. And what is the government doing? It is distributing contraceptives in the night and saying that we are doing our duty. So is this a civilization? Now we are talking that we have become an advanced civilization, but is this what we can call a civilized human being, right? So modern society is about celebrating lust. Vedic society is about celebrating life. So all around, the modern society is about lust, enjoyment, but Vedic society is about the joy of taking care of a child, raising a child. So out of the 16 samskaras, 14 are about raising a child, right? So the garbhadana samskara, you know, the sanctifying the intention to bring a soul. Pumsavan samskara, third month of pregnancy, to direct the fetus on the path of religiosity. Simantonayan samskara, in the 8th month, it is, you know, godbharai. Then the jata karma, when the umbilical cord is cut, that is another samskara. Nishkramanya samskara, 14 days, which is after birth, which is the first outing. Namakaran, 1 month after birth. Annaprashan, 6 months after birth. Karna bhedan, 7 months after birth. Paushtik karma homa, so that the child is healthy. You know, mundan. And all of these samskaras are festival in the home. So you don't celebrate lust, you celebrate life. You celebrate the gift of God. You don't celebrate sense gratification. So now, with the civilization that we have created, which kills millions of fishes, 9 lakh cows every day, 1.5 million goats every day, 1.7 million sheep every day, 3.8 million pigs every day, 200 million chicken every day. With this kind of a violent society, right, what do you think people, you know, living on such violence will do to each other? Right? So we need, so this sounds to be very hopeless, right? The society which we are living, are you all feeling a little hopeless and depressed? I am sorry if I made you, but there is a lot of hope. And that's what all of these different tribes which are mentioned, they may be uncivilized, but they are definitely better than the society which we have created. But Bhagavatam is saying, whichever level of degradation you may come from, but if you come in touch with the devotees of the Lord, you are sure to be delivered and uplifted. And Indradyumna Swami Maharaj, he tells the story of, you know, one very heart-touching story which really, you know, moved me. He told about his mother. So he comes from like a family which was atheistic. His mother was a scientist, professional scientist, working as a scientist, and she never believed in God. And the greatest shock of her life was to see her son become a Hare Krishna. Matlab, you know, it's such an extreme from an atheist scientific family. The child becomes a vivacious Hare Krishna chanting, dancing on the street. And he was abandoned. Nikal jao ghar se. Right? Okay, happy. Thank you. So then from there, but he kept on sending books, trying to, you know, send prasadam to her at home. And over years, he kept the connection going. But then she was never interested. All the books that he sent to her were kept in the garage. The mother had just, you know, put them out in the garage. And they were in oblivion. And Maharaj says that one night, after many, many decades, he gets a call from his mother in the dead of the night. And his mother calls him and says, "Son, I want to go to Vrindavan. Will you take me to Vrindavan?" And Maharaj was, you know, just coming out of sleep, and so he said, "What's happening? Am I, am I still awake or is it a dream?" And then he knew my mother drinks, so maybe she's under the influence of alcohol and speaking something. And he said, "Okay, mother, we will go. Surely, this is the happiest thing for me. But it's late night here, so we will talk in the morning, and we will surely go." And he kept the phone. Next day he calls up, and his brother lifts the call, and he says, "Mom called me and said that she wants to visit Vrindavan. Is she all right? Everything is okay at home?" And his brother, with a big sigh, he said, "Actually, she left her body last night. And she called you with her last wish to go to Vrindavan." And he said, "How come this kind of transformation happened?" And his brother said, "Actually, since last 6 months, a lot has been happening at home. 6 months back, she was diagnosed with cancer. And something within her changed. Something within her got unsettled when she heard that she has very limited time to live. And then she started inquiring about you. And one day, I went to the garage to clean up something. Then I found her sitting in the garage reading those books which you sent. And then she told me, 'Get those books, clean them, I want to read them.' And she started reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And she started asking for tapes of Indradyumna Maharaj to his brother. And his brother said, 'Mom, why don't we tell him and call him?' She said, 'No, don't disturb him. I just want, to listen to him.' So she listened to his tapes, read Prabhupada's books. And then finally, when she knew it's my time to depart, she called him up, 'I want to go to Vrindavan.'" Right? So this is 6 months. So what is written here in the Srimad Bhagavatam is not a bland theory. It's a practical reality. That's the power of association of devotees. That's the power of Krishna Bhakti. And we, in the Bhagavat Mahatmya, we have this story of Gokarna and Dundukari. Right? Dundukari, with all his sinful activities of, murder, thievery, robbery, keeping 5 prostitutes at home, he was finally murdered by those prostitutes. And his brother, Gokarna, who was a devotee of the Lord, he went to Gaya to perform Shraddha. And he came back and the ghost was still haunting that place. The ghost of Dundukari was still haunting that place. He went to Haridwar to perform some yajna. Still the ghost was haunting the people. Then Suryadev revealed to him that you need to recite Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days. And then, like, Gokarna recited Srimad Bhagavatam. Dundukari was given place on the knots on a bamboo stick. That's where the ghosts can sit. They can't sit anywhere else, on the bamboo stick. And each day one knot was broken. And then at the end of the 7 days, Dundukari, went on the Vaikuntha Viman, directly to the spiritual world. So Vyasadev, Srimad Bhagavatam mentions, we many times talk of, we want to bring back the Vedic culture, the good old days. But let's look at the prescription of Vyasadeva, who is the compiler of all the Vedas. How do we bring back that culture and civilized society? Prabhupada writes in the purport that in the present condition, it's not possible to actually revive the Varnashram, just, you know, the society just based on Varnashram. So, what is the prescription of Vyasadeva? Vyasadeva says, Anarthopashamam sakshat bhakti yogam adokshase. Lokasya ajananto vidvams chakre satvata samhita. Vyasadeva is vidvans. And for people who are ajanato, who are ignorant, he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam after compiling all the Vedic literatures, because this literature, you know, this Srimad Bhagavatam only has the power to bring one from the dungeons of, you know, hellish life to the most civilized, advanced, devotional human being. And we'll finally, you know, just take some time to see how this transformation takes place. So it doesn't matter whether one is a civilized human being or an uncivilized human being. If one is not a devotee, it's all the same. You know, it's just the green grass or the dry grass disconnected from the roots. Right? So, the dry grass, if it's connected to the roots, it can become green again. But if the green grass, if it is disconnected, it will soon become, you know, withered away. So, last, you know, 5-7 minutes, let's go to Vrindavan, to a place called Bhattarol, which is a place of the Brahman Patnis, it is close to Akrur Ghat. So one day, Shukdev Goswami is narrating, all the Gopas are surrounding Krishna Balaram and is saying, Rama Rama Mahabaho Krishna Dushta Nibarhana Eshavai Bada Teshunna Tatshantum Kartumarhata. O Krishna Balaram, you have been declaring yourself to be very powerful. If you are really powerful, then kill the demon of hunger within our stomach. That demon is really troubling us a lot. So please, we are being harassed. So when Krishna heard this, he responds, Iti vigyapito gopir bhagavan devaki suta bhaktaya viprabharyaya prasidan idam abravit. Hearing this plea from the Gopas, Krishna immediately thought of the Brahman Patnis. So the original and the only multitasker is Krishna. While trying to solve the problem of the hunger of these cowherd boys, he's thinking, how can I also deliver the Brahman Patnis? So he's thinking of the Brahman Patnis and he tells the cowherd boys, I have a good plan in place. You go to a place not far away from here where the Brahmanas, very erudite, learned scholars, they are performing fire sacrifices. And there, having gone there, he says, Tatra gatvodanam gopa yacha dasmat visarjita kirtayanto bhagavata aryasya mamachabhidam. That you go there and to these Brahmanas you go and beg them on whose behalf? My and Balaramji's behalf. On the behalf of Krishna Balaram, you go and beg them that please give us some foodstuff for extinguishing their hunger. So actually, if you look at it, this is the essence of preaching. We are talking of transformation, we are talking of preaching. So what is preaching about? Preaching is about going to people and begging them on the behalf of Guru and Krishna. Balaramji is the Adi Guru. And so when we approach people to take a book, to come for a lecture, come for a program, we are begging them that please take Krishna. And please sacrifice some of your, you know, prane arthe dhiya vacha. Sacrifice something for Krishna. Right? So we are on Krishna's behalf and Guru's behalf, we go and beg them. And this is what the Gopas did. He Bhumi Deva Shrunata Krishnasya Adesha Karina Praptan Janita Bhadram Vo Gopan No Ramachoditan. They say, Hey Bhumi Deva, suno, hamari baat suno. Because they were not listening. They were, doing their tapasya, their sacrifices, yagyas, and they were very, you know, absorbed or seemingly absorbed. So they are giving their petition. So, but what is the response? All of these brahmanas, iti te bhagavat yachana shrinvato api na shushruva shudrasha bhuri karmano balisha vriddhamanina. So shrinvato api na shushruva, they heard but they did not listen. They heard but they did not hear. Sunke ansuna kar diya, they neglected. How many of us have this experience? Now the book marathon is coming. You go to a person requesting them, please have a look at the book, and they pass through you, or they glance, you know, through you like an X-ray machine, that you don't exist. And some people will go on to tell, "Are Gita ko sadak pe le aaye tum?" So people will give different types of neglect, and you know, they will not, they will frustrate us, right? But what happens to the gopas? They request them, they give them all the reasoning, but then finally they are not successful. So they go back to Krishna. Nate yad om iti prochu naneti cha parantapa gopa nirasha pratyeta tathochu Krishna rameyo. So because they didn't hear yes, they did not hear no. They were just simply neglected. They were very disappointed, nirashah, and they came back to Krishna Balaram. And they told the whole story. Krishna, kitna preaching karne ka try kiya maine. Balaram ji, how much I tried to convince them that it is proper to give this food to us as alms, because the sacrifice has, you know, in this current time, the sacrifice has not yet started. It is the right time. You can still give. So, but they were disappointed. Now, what is the response of Krishna? Tadupakarnya Bhagavan Prahasya Jagadishwara Vyajahara Punargopan Darshayan Lokikim Gatim. Krishna had a good laugh. Krishna laughed because Krishna did not send them to get alms. Krishna sent them to get an experience. Krishna did not send them to deliver these brahmanas. So many times we think that we are going to deliver these conditioned souls. But when we are going out to preach, it is not to deliver them, but it is to deliver ourselves. So Krishna wants to give us some realizations and experiences in the journey. And darshayan laukikim gatim, Krishna wanted to show to them, this is this material world. Get frustrated with it. This is not a place to live. And then Krishna says, now I have plan B. What is the plan B? Mam gyapayata patnibhya sasankarshanamagatam dasyantikama mannamva snigdhamai ushitadhiya. So Krishna told them, now go to the Brahman patnis. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. And give the same request to them, and then you see what happens. And then now they go to Brahman patnis, and immediately Samudra iva nimnaga, just as rivers rushed towards the ocean, they came rushing. They were stopped by the brothers and fathers and everyone in the family, but they did not stop. They went and brought everything to Krishna, sacrificed everything for Krishna. And now the whole pastime happened, I'll cut short. Finally, Krishna tells these Brahman Patnis, I have accepted your offering and I have accepted your love. Now you go back to the Brahmanas. You go back to your homes. It was very heartbreaking for them because they have given up everything for Krishna, and Krishna is telling them, go back to their own material homes and material life. But when they accept Krishna's instruction, they go back, what happens? The transformation of the Brahmanas take place. Dik janma, dik tribit yastat. The Brahmanas, they say that useless is all our learning, useless is our high birth and all the aristocracy, because we could not surrender our lives to the supreme truth who came, whom we have been seeking and who came to our doorsteps. So this is how Krishna creates transformation by association of devotees. Like seemingly, the Brahman Patnis, they are not learned. like the Brahmanas. They are simple housewives. But then Krishna showed, if one has Krishna Bhakti, Jai Krishna Tattva Veta Sei Guru Hoi. One may not be learned in all the Vedic scriptures, but if one knows Krishna, one is a guru. So these Brahmana Patnis, by their association, they transformed the Brahmanas. And this is what this verse is telling. Whether one is an uncivilized being or a civilized being, by the power of association of devotees, which we all have been blessed with, our hearts can get transformed and we can all go back home, back to Godhead, to Krishna's abode. Hare Krishna. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.